sharing the story this morning of Jesus and his birth, so important. I think we have some up-and-coming actors as well, you know, so that was good. One of the things as well, very quickly, and by the way, let me say, the news of fear not, I'm aware of the time. You're not getting a full sermon this morning, okay? So just, hey! All right, one really amazing thing this morning I want to just highlight. God has been so good and answered prayer. One of our missionaries, his life was in danger. We're talking about Job. And we didn't know how things were going to come out. He's here with us this morning. Hey, Job. God is so good, and we give him praise and glory. The children presented to us a play based on the birth of Jesus Christ from Scripture. And as I was reading this account myself in Luke chapter 2, I was struck by a few things I just want to share with you briefly. Jesus was born into this world over 2,000 years ago. And I'm just going to read the story very quickly from Scripture, just share a couple of thoughts. In those days, Luke chapter 2, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. Now, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw what had been made known, the saying that had been told to them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. So Jesus, born into this world 2,000 years ago, and the time was a time of trouble. There was war. There was uncertainty, much like the world today. People in Israel were being occupied by the Romans. In fact, Caesar Augustus, mentioned here in the book of Luke, is a founder of the Roman Empire that reigned for almost 400 years following this time. And during that time, they decided to have a census. Now, a census, of course, was to get information about people, who they were, where they were, how many there were, and naturally, why this is highly relatable is they probably wanted to collect taxes from the people. And so they sent them off to their hometowns to register. Now, that meant Mary and Joseph, who were to be married, she was pregnant with Jesus, and they would travel to Bethlehem. Joseph was a descendant of David, And when you think about this detail, a census, you think, boy, what a boring detail. But it actually isn't, because when you consider that the Bible said the Savior needed to be born in Bethlehem, in Micah 5:2, it says this: "You, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, who is coming forth from old, from ancient of days." Jesus had to come from the line of David. In 2 Samuel, David is told in chapter 7 that God would raise up an offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house by my name and establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So think about this. Joseph wasn't normally in Bethlehem. He had to travel there. The Israelites weren't in charge of their own country. The Romans were. Now, what seems like a minor detail? A census. I mean, come on. God moved an entire occupying nation to sovereignly demand that everyone would have to return to their hometowns so that Jesus would be born exactly where God said he would. And this only happened because God was in control, and it happened right exactly at the right time. So when you think about all of that, you go, wow, God did it. And when they got to Bethlehem, it was busy. There was no room at the inn. And so it meant that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would need to be born elsewhere. Now, Jesus is not just another man. Jesus is God come in the flesh. It was always God's plan to send Jesus here. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, where is the King of Kings going to be born? Is it in a palace? A governor's mansion? No. With millions adoring him at his birth? No, it tells us in Luke 2, he was born in a manger. Now, a manger most likely meant that Jesus was born. It says she laid him in the manger. There's a high chance that he was just born and laid in a feeding trough for animals. The King of Kings, God himself, born in the flesh, laid in a feeding trough for animals. And what did you expect? We expect great things for great kings, but Jesus is born in humble circumstances. Because Jesus did not come to be exalted here, although he is exalted. He came to humble himself. He died for sinners. He took on the most humble task. And he wasn't there to be a political leader adored by cheering crowds. Now, while Jesus is lying in the manger in the fields, nearby shepherds are watching their flocks. And again, shepherds are not highly regarded. Shepherds are seen as a lower class of people. And you would think that Jesus, being King of Kings, the angel would show up and say, "Caesar Augustus, by the way, Jesus is born." But no, God sends angels to the shepherds. And in the night sky, and God's glory shone around, they were terrified naturally. I mean, it's not something you see every day when you're taking care of sheep, right? It was a very unique situation. And he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, it's interesting. When you read history, Caesar Augustus, when they published the birth announcement of Caesar Augustus, they called it the gospel. Gospel means good news. And they said, "Here's good news. Caesar Augustus has been born, and he is here to save the people. And he's here to end all wars. And he's here to bring peace." The Bible intentionally put this here because Caesar is not the Savior. There is only one, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Caesar died. His empire crumbled after several hundred years. And what have we learned about politicians and leaders who make grand claims about claiming to bring peace and lasting peace, and they're the next greatest thing? Until somebody else comes after them, right? Then their things are forgotten. Caesar is still dead in the grave, but Jesus is not. You see, how dramatic is the contrast here? Caesar had great fanfare, the backing of Roman Empire. Jesus is born in a manger. His birth is announced to shepherds. But the difference is immeasurably vast. Because when Jesus was born, you know, the crowds could get excited, but it's only to Jesus that the angels explode in the air with great joy at this news. Glory to God in highest, and in peace among those with whom he is pleased. No human leader can promise peace and prosperity that lasts because of sin. We were reminded of that this morning, a tragedy in Australia. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus came for ordinary people. We heard that. That means that Jesus came to save sinners like you and me. People from every tongue, tribe, and language. Revelation 7:9, it says, I saw a great multitude no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand. We cannot help but be struck by the humble circumstances in which Jesus was born. And that it's good news for all the people, but let's not miss, Jesus didn't come to bring a political revolution. Jesus didn't come just to teach us a better way of life. Jesus didn't come just to make it easier for us. Jesus didn't come just to make us materially wealthy. The way he was born confirms all of this. You see, he came for spiritual reasons. Our sin condemns us before a holy God. We deserve to be punished and face eternal separation from God. The evidence of sin is all around us, but don't look only outside. Look in your own heart. The reality is every single one of us has sinned before a holy God. Whether it's our thoughts or our actions, we do the things we ought not to do. And the problem is we have no way to make it right with God by our own efforts. And that's why Jesus came, because you couldn't pay for your sin. I can't pay for my sin. Only Jesus could die for our sin. It's only Jesus' precious blood shed that could satisfy God's wrath against our sin. God will not leave sin unpunished. And left to our own, we are hopeless. But God sent Jesus into this world to pay for our sins by his death on a cross. Isaiah 53 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. You see, Jesus didn't come just to be born, but he came to die. But he didn't stay dead. He rose on the third day to show us that he was truly able to forgive sin, truly able to give us eternal life and have power over death. There's no politician, no political leader that can make that kind of claim. Yes, we need peace, but the peace we need most of all is peace in our hearts, peace with God. And you can only do that by confessing your sin before God and believing that Jesus died for your sin and rose again. I told you Jesus was born in humble circumstances. Can I say to everyone here, including myself, the way to the forgiveness of sins is truly a humbling thing. Because you have to admit that you are a sinner. And our pride absolutely does not want us to do that. But we must confess to God our sin and come humbly to him. Let God speak to your heart today. Confess your sin and trust in Jesus. Now, what do the shepherds do with this good news? with haste. They go and tell people. They race to tell them. And I think that we should realize, look, we're not here just to keep the good news of Jesus to ourselves. You know what? People were excited about Caesar Augustus's birth. That's nothing. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, has been born, and he saved us from our sins. Do you have a better message to share with people? You can't. That's the greatest message there is, the greatest hope there is. And we are entrusted with the good news about Jesus Christ. Let us be like those shepherds, going, as Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, we long for peace. We long for safety. We hope in dark times. All of this is found in Jesus. And I really love, it wasn't even on purpose, but God does these things. I love that this sign is right here like this, no room at the end. Because that phrase really struck me, that Jesus came into this world and there was no room for him. But if you know Jesus, can I tell you something? Jesus made sure that there's room for you in heaven. You will not be told there is no room for you in heaven if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have real hope. Jesus says this in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am also. Jesus didn't come just to give us warm, fuzzy feelings at Christmas. Jesus came to save sinners and to ensure that we here on earth, born into this world, trapped in our sin, would be rescued and brought to be in heaven with him forever. And that sign doesn't exist in heaven. What a glorious truth that is. We can be grateful, but don't let the world's pomp and circumstance fool you. Humbly give your life to Christ and follow him. Fear not indeed, for our Savior has come. And so, let me just say, what does your life look like? Is it a humble reflection of this reality? You know, yesterday I went with Kim to the mall, Mapleview Mall. Some of you are already laughing because you know. It was a spectacular experience. Pulling up to the parking lot and seeing no spaces whatsoever. None. And you're circling around. Oh, I hope. And as, you know, and then you see all the sharks, like, in their cars dueling with each other, like, gonna get the spot before you, right? So you're driving along. And we knew, and I was very tempted just to say, forget it, let's go. It's not worth it to get there. It's too hard. But you know what? I had promised Kim that I would take her there. And God had humbled me in that moment that it was truly a humbling thing. I made a promise. I was going to follow through. And so we drove way out into no man's land. I thought there were some tumbleweeds going by, you know, that kind of thing. Way back. And it was cold. And I'll tell you, it struck me, why did I think that I deserved special treatment? If I wanted to go where we had to go, I had to humble myself and get outside, go far away, get out in the cold, and walk the long walk. Now, I'm not saying I was a victim or that this was some kind of persecution. No, no, no. Of course, it was just a small thing. But was the journey worth it? Absolutely. Does it take, now when I take this into the Christian life, do we need to think that we are so special that we shouldn't be humble? Of course not. Should we go through things that are difficult? Should we be inconvenienced to follow Christ? Absolutely. The destination is important, not just the journey. Where we end up. And without Christ, there's no hope, but with Christ there is. And so, are you humble enough to repent? Are you humble enough to live for Him? Humble enough to live humbly? And humble enough to obey and tell others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Jesus Christ, this glorious truth that He came, that He died for sinners, that He rose again, that our hope is in Him. Fear not indeed, great words for us. And I pray that we would rejoice in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we would live faithfully for Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.